kind of problems are we talking about?
The children have very unique problems. There's blindness, lameness, pyromania, learning disabilities. One of them was even
shot in the dick, shot in the arm, shot in the head, shot in the leg, shot in the lung. Now I got shot one time in the dark, one time in the day. Shit, I've been shot so many ways, I can't remember the last way I got shot. I got 16 scars for my 16 bars. My exit wounds make record exec goons. I've been shot so many times, the bullets had to make room. I've been shot. I've been raised about the dust like a bloodlust phoenix. It seems the more bullets that I catch, I get the greenest green of all the greenest green pastures in the world. Got a bullet hole in my penis, don't believe it? Ask my girl. If I hadn't been shot, I would've never got laid, would've never got signed, would've never got paid. I would've never known how lonely it gets at the top. Would've never been shit if I'd never been shot. I've been shot. I used to think I'd make it on talent and nothing else, but these days a little bit of violence helps. And I could tell that it's the gunplay that drives the crowd crazy. Every now and then I ask somebody to graze me. Just shoot me a little bit, man, make it look good. Well, not every rapper does it, but every rapper should. It's a good career move, just what you'll see when everybody goes and gets shot like me.
You know, so that's what I'm saying. Sometimes you gotta get shot in order to make things happen. Sometimes, you know, so just, you know, get a friend and a gun and have them point the gun at you and you pull the trigger and bang, 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 bang.
Welcome to Champions of the Universe, episode 91.
Oh, we're getting there.
We're creeping up there. We're getting up there towards 100. Hondo.
Oh, man, I can't wait. We have things planned. We're planning on doing a whole bunch of things, getting a whole bunch of people together, possibly even finding Handsome Chris and getting him back in, asking him how his trip to Africa was. It's been a long time. So, Adam, I'm glad that you've been around. I'm glad that we have done these past 90 episodes. I think that it has been a wonderful time. So, we have three new things for you guys today. 2014, all of it. Most of it just came out. So, Adam, how you doing? It's good, man. It's nice out.
It's really nice out. I've been driving around all day to various Home Depot-style department stores doing yard work.
Man.
Yeah, like a man. Like a fucking man.
I've been reading a little bit. I tried to go swimming today out in the bay, but it was way too cold. So I did not know that 66 degrees was not swimmable. So the temperature definitely has to be like above 75.
Well, otherwise, yeah, you're usually wearing like jeans.
Yeah,
when
yeah.
You're swimming.
Yeah, exactly. You know? A coat. Yeah. You need to wear a coat.
Yeah.
You need to put on a blanket to swim. So, all right. We got our first album. And this is album. And Adam and I were talking. We have covered this band's last three albums since 2011. So here you go. Turn up the volume and watch these walls melt.
Let's
right, that was the OCs with their new album Drop. Oh man. All right. So we were just kind of like looking at this guy's record, his kind of like resume, and this guy was in a whole bunch of bands, including Pink and Brown. He was he was in the Coach Whips. He did stuff with Lightning Bolt, but probably the thing that everyone knows him for, John Dwyer, is his work in the OCs, which is a fantastic and probably a very early example. I would even say an example of garage rock that got kind of popular and kind of like started this whole kind of like new kind of like psych wave that's been happening. But these guys have always hit it out of the park. And I think on Champions of the Universe, we did first... We first did their album Carrion Crawler, The Dream, and all of us liked it, and we have been kind of like covering every single release. Now this is The Drop. I'm going to say this right up front. This is super short. I'm going to guess. I don't have my notes on me, but I think that this may be under 30 minutes. it is really short. I think that the longest song is 4 minutes. On here, but like most of them are 2 minutes, most of them are 3 minutes, and it is gone before you know it. Because it is an album that doesn't drag. I think that this album has been. I was talking highly on Floating Coffin, the last one, but this one blew it out of the park. With some specific songs too, including Put Some Reverb on My Brother, and also the last song, The Lens. There are a couple of songs here that sound so fantastic. It sounds just like the Beatles, but like they put their kind of like own spin to it. There is some great melodies in here, and it's not just all like guitar ripping. I think that we make a joke. It's either with this or Ty Siegel about the yipping into reverb. I think it's this band, right?
Yep.
Okay. So this band, we always joke about just them yipping and having like reverb, because that's, that's like their signature. But there's not a lot of that stuff. They're definitely embracing more kind of like a psychedelic sound rather than a garage sound on this. But I mean, since it's so short, I just kept like turning it back to the beginning and just like listening to it over and over again. Cause I mean, you can get three listens into it, for the time that it takes you to get through other albums. So I feel very acquainted with this one, and it is fantastic. I liked it a lot. It took me a while to get into it because I put it on the background at first, but once you do, man, it is unbelievable. So Adam Arian, man, what do you think?
Oh, I love this one.
Yes, it's good.
Is my favorite one since Carrion Crawler in the Dream. Like you were saying, it doesn't drag, and I feel like that's what really makes this album kick ass, is because it's constantly moving forward. And while they do jam stuff out and they still have those like cool, you know, psych parts, they condense them, they make them into these like, you know, really great segments of songs that overall they're not like, you know, it's not like you're listening to like Minutemen's The Punchline or anything, but you know, they're like you were saying, it's a good like 3 minutes, 2 minutes, but all the songs are definitely just like going straight forward the whole time. You know, you're just in drive from the beginning, and I think it gives this record like a really good life to it. It sounds a little more alive than you know, a couple of the last records have been. They've all been kind of like, you know, they've been slowing down a little bit, kind of like working more on, it's a little more on track, I think, than a couple of the last releases, and it's really kick-ass. I mean, I love it. It's just awesome the whole way through. There's a lot of variety. Like you were saying, they do kind of get into some like Beatles-y type of territory along the way. But there's still, you know, that kind of like punk fun about it. And I think this is just a really solid record. I mean, kudos, again.
It's really good. It is a really good record from an album cover that I really don't like. I don't know what it is about their album cover, but like it is It looks like a light break threw up. I do not like it at all. Like, it is just not that good. Adam, Area Man, you have something else for us.
I do. All right, so gel your hair.
Okay, all right, yep, got it.
Yeah, get some, like, sparkly shoes if you have them. And then start washing your hands.
All right. I asked your boss for your number. I never wondered which way you would go. You woke me up from my slumber. Now let me make your workflow.
All right, that was a really almost pointless reference to Crobio's Yo Gabba Gabba, which, by the way, if you haven't seen it, they do a song about washing your hands. It is friggin' phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
So that was Crobio, and this album is called White Women.
Awesome.
And
album. I like
it. Yeah, I mean, dude, their music is so good. I really like it. They have an awesome sense of humor about what they're doing, and they know how to write really catchy hooks, and it's just really fun. You know, all their stuff is fun. This album is less fun than some of the other ones, because they're like, there aren't any jokes that I think are really worthwhile or awesome. You know, it's not like that one where they have Mama's Boy, and it's like, you know, all he wants is a girl that looks like his mom. Like, that one's awesome. Like, there aren't any, like, really deep jokes like that. And, like, it kind of, none of the humor landed with me on this one. But I like the music a lot. I think it's really good. They don't need to be funny as long as they're writing great songs. So, I definitely dug it. It's smoother than some of, like, the older stuff. They almost get into these, like, they get into, like, ballad mode with, like, Come Alive, the song featuring Toru Imoi. I love that one.
Yeah. That was really good.
And, you know, there's just, like, there's a lot of good stuff in here. If I had to pick, like, a least favorite one, I'm not going to pick a least favorite one. I like most of the songs on this album. So I can talk about the ones that are awesome. And definitely that Come Alive one. And Play the Fool is really cool. Sexy Socialite.
I like it.
I don't like the lyrics at all, but it's got an awesome sound. It reminds me a lot of... why can't I think of the band's name? He's that dude... His band was super huge. They're dancey. Think of, like, the biggest dancey indie band.
Oh,
LCD Sound System.
Oh, okay, no, yeah, yeah. Okay, go.
Yeah. All right. Okay, go. That fuck up's gonna have to stay in now. Oh, great.
No, okay. You're like, think of, like, the biggest dancey indie band. I'm like, okay, the one that was on the commercial. Okay, go. All right, do it.
All right. So, Sexy Social, like, kind of, like, almost gets into that territory where it sounds like LCD Sound System.
Mm-hmm.
But the way through, like, the album, there's a lot of variety to the sounds that they're doing, and the songs all just have good hooks, really excellent synth use, like they just have, they always hit these like really awesome parts. I mean, like they have just solid music every single time, whether or not it's like funny. Sometimes it's hilarious, sometimes it's just good. Yeah. So I would put this in the good category because I really dug this one.
Mm-hmm.
Captain Carbon. Did this get you dancing?
So I always liked them. Since Fancy Footwork in 2007, I didn't really listen to Business Casual that much. They came around the time that I was really into data rock as well too. So it was like these two bands that like had these like great dance hooks to it. They were kind of like indie, which I was kind of getting into. But so I listened to Business Casual a little bit, but not as much as I listened to this one. And I told you, I think this sounds like. Like I did a lot of comparisons to Daft Punk, because I mean Daft Punk just came out with Random Access Memories last year, so like it's still fresh. This has the same sort of like production backing. It is so.
It's not disco though.
No, it's not. But it's.
It's like a little more along the lines of like Prince or like Something Good sounds like a Michael Jackson song.
Yeah. So like instead of like an early 80s disco, like this sounds kind of more like mid to late 80s kind of like dance pop. But it still has that kind of like very smooth, very lush kind of production. And I think that they definitely, it sounds good with them. I never really thought of them as kind of like a humorous act. I know that they always had kind of like the more risque, more about sleeping with girls. Just like, I mean, they were more sexual than a lot of their stuff. And like some of the stuff comes off as funny. And I get that. But I thought, like, I think that this band really hits it out of the park whenever like they're just like talking about like, I don't know, just like general stuff. Like Come Alive is awesome. Play the Fool is awesome. Like I love just those like vocal melodies and those like vocal hooks. Things about like Over Your Shoulder, like the I Want to Be in the Intersection Between Your Thighs. Like it's funny, but like I'm not really here to laugh at Chromeo. And I know that like the band is humorous, but like I think that their strengths are just so much kind of like spread out in like other places. And when I was comparing it to Daft Punk, I think that these guys are more solid. I think that this album is more solid and reliable than Random Access Memories, but I don't think it's as artistic. If I was going to compare the two. I mean, these guys are definitely here to make you smile and dance. But like a lot of their stuff sounds, I mean, there's no like standout tracks, aside from all of them being pretty decent. So I mean I do like some of the songs, like that, I mean that Toru Imoi song Come Alive is really cool. So
yeah, I think that one's my favorite one. That one and Something Good just sounds so much like Michael Jackson.
Yeah. So really cool. This is probably something just like Random Access Memories. I think that it's going to just be in my rotation because it's something that I can listen to and it's very easy to listen to. I love their synth. Their synth is so cool. So, yeah. And like, and these guys are having fun doing it. So, all right. I'm all for it. So, all right. We got our last one right here. So now that we kind of smoothed out, a little bit, it's time to throw some grease on it. So here you go.
I'm a blank page in a notebook waiting to be filled with countless drawings of cocks. I'm a bathroom wall freshly painted over to cover up swastikas and the names of girls that we call sluts. I'm the total gym, I am the salad glove, I'm the slap chop, I'm the forever lazy. I am a boring and worthless thing and nobody should save me. I am the Kool-Aid stains on the mouth of a kid whose name is most likely Cody. He had a juice box for breakfast and he carries a stick that he most
All right, from Arizona, that was Andrew Jackson Jihad. All right, so back in 2007, I had a brief flirtation with folk punk. I was really into bands like Ghost Mice, Defiance Ohio, and Andrew Jackson Jihad. And this band, Andrew Jackson Jihad, I think it was just two people. I may be wrong about that, but it was acoustic guitar. It was very bare bones. You could see videos of this band like playing out in parking lots, and they just had kind of like these very catchy, very grating, kind of like pop anthems. They were very, very kind of like frank with their lyrics and very like blunt with their imagery. So like that was kind of like their thing. In 2007, they had an awesome album called People Who Can Eat People Are the Luckiest People in the World, taken off of the Kurt Vonnegut quote. And then they had, between that, they had an album called Knife Man, which was all right. But this one, Christmas Island, just as we were talking with Kermit before, this is probably their first album that they had really well produced, like really deep production. Their string arrangements, there's some nice kind of like bells on here. There's some really cool like synth on here. And I absolutely love when weird music is backed by large production. I feel that those two kind of complement each other. That's the same reason why I love later Ween. It's just really odd, surreal lyrics mixed with really, really well kind of like pop production. So I really like that, and I really liked this album. And when I gave it to Adam, I'm like, well, he's either gonna not like it at all, he's gonna love it, or he's gonna kind of be like, kind of like questioning it a little bit. Hopefully he's like either on one side or the other, because I feel that this band either brings out like the best or the worst in people. Myself and my other friend, Willow, really like this band, just because I think that when you get it, you get like the way that they write songs, the imagery that they use, just kind of like combining the surreal, the mundane, the absurd. He talks about like Xbox controllers, Cocopelli face tattoos, like just so much weird stuff put together. It's super funny, but it's also like kind of like slipped in there are these kind of like hooks of kind of like, I don't know, like poetic resonance, as I call it. Like he's trying to describe kind of like amazing things that can happen within everyday experiences, like things that we don't think about. So for that, I really enjoyed it. And for the production, like this one got me probably the most since 2007 album. So here we go. Adam, what do you think?
All right. So there's a lot of things about this album I really appreciate. Uh-huh. I like the punk rock spirit that you can just hear the whole way through. Mm-hmm. The way they're like playing the funk. It's like dirty, but it's like produced, but it's still like dirty. Like they're using acoustic guitars with distortion pedals and stuff.
Face. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like very Days of the New, you know, acoustic distortion. That's a joke.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know if you're no one probably remembers Days of the New. I think every album cover they had like a tree on it. Okay, wait, I'm getting sidetracked.
Okay.
So content wise of the lyrics, brilliant.
Okay, you brilliant. Like that. Okay, all right, yes.
I really like it. I think the metaphors that he uses and the things that he's like generally saying, like he's telling like short stories kind of with all the songs, and I really like that. I just don't really like the music.
Okay,
like
all right.
Folk punk is not really my favorite thing, and I can't stand his voice.
It's great.
It's like nails on a chalkboard to me. It's like, you know, it's like that kind of whiny folk indie guy voice where it's like you just want to take their lunch money.
He
I'm not saying
glasses.
I would take his lunch money.
He
but it's
glasses.
like the way like that skinny. I hate the Decemberists vocals. Okay. You know, like I can't stand the Decemberists vocals. And like this reminds me, it's like this is like more punk rock.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you know, I mean, that's like a personal preference thing. But I would appreciate this album most if it were like in written form.
Like
if this
poetry.
Guy wrote a
okay.
book, if he wrote a book, I would be so into it, I think, because you know, I love the way he puts things, like the Coca-Pelli face tattoo, like you were saying, where it's like, you know, like hating you is not going to make you suck any less.
Yeah, and like,
you know, I want to rock out in my dreams. That one is really great, where he compares himself to like a kid named Cody.
And I feel,
you know,
and yeah, and like I feel that he uses things that a lot of people dismiss as kind of like kitschy or not artistic enough. Like he uses like a lot of stuff that people would probably like write down and then just like cross out because they're like, no, like that doesn't work. But like within kind of like this mountain of kitschy kind of like tacky things, like he creates kind of like meaning out of them. Like I really like that about him.
Yeah, and there's a kind of honesty to it that you mm-hmm. can hear, you know, when you're listening to it. Like, I love the one where it's talking about losing your shit at, like, a video installation about Linda Ronstadt. Like, it's, like, really clever, man. These things, these songs are, like, lyrically, they're so engaging.
Mm-hmm.
And there are times when I like them more, like, Deathlessness.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, like, it's got, like, that choo-choo train kind of moving along thing, but it reminds me a lot of, like, Violent Femmes.
Yeah, yeah.
When they get a little more like Violent Femmes, I can get down with his vocals more, but when he does, like, that whiny, like, then, like, it just drives me up the tree. So, I'm really divided on this one. I'm, like, 50-50, because, like, artistically, I really appreciate it. And I think what he's saying is really excellent. Like, he's a smart dude. And if he ever wants to write a book, I will buy it.
No, it's true. It's true. It's true.
But, like, musically, you know, not my fave. But it's definitely cool and worth listening to. I mean, just the value of what this guy has to say in his lyrics, it's so clever and engaging and kind of human in the way it's told, almost like good stand-up comedy,
mm-hmm.
where rather than like a one-liner, it's like a story that's humorous. I gotta say, this one I was really surprised because I heard these guys back in the day and I hated them.
Oh yeah, you
I'm sure it was like the vocals, which I still bug me, unless he's like, and like the more Violent Femmes-y type ones are they work a little better for me. But yeah, man, I just like, I really listened to this one. I really listened to the lyrics. And when I did, I just was totally rewarded for it. You know, it's not that often where like you really dive into the lyrical content of what people are saying on record sometimes and find something that's really special.
Yeah. So.
You know, like last time, I feel like we had an album maybe that was this packed content-wise with the lyrics was, I would have to say, Sunny in the Sunsets.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, folky punk vibe to it, but the songs are written in the form of these, like, real weird stories.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's such a cool way to go. You know, I mean, it's just, it's nice hearing this stuff that like would stand up in written form. You know, there's not a lot of lyrics that'll do that.
Yeah, especially not
so. yeah, definitely. So yeah, man, I really appreciated it, and I was glad to get to listen to these guys because I didn't realize, you know, exactly what they had going on.
Yeah, and so I'm glad that you at least got kind of like why I enjoyed it. And I feel that what just separates me and you is that I kind of like the music to it. I think that it kind of fits with the concrete grit of kind of like the lyrics. So I mean just because like you have that disconnect doesn't mean that like you're not getting it or anything. It's just now you can see like why like other people are like, oh, like this band is really cool. But this,
yeah,
this
and album, you know what, like I do like folk punk stuff. But there's like a certain level of whininess that like can't be in the vocal parts for me to really dig in. But it's good.
Yeah. So if you were to pick something, I think that, you know, it was the OCs this week.
That's tough. I like them all for really different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I liked OCs because it was upbeat, it was moving along the whole time. Chromeo was just like a blast of all of these awesome 80s things. It's
air
together.
Conditioning.
And Andrew Jackson Jihad, you know, it's just like lyrically really did it for me. I had a good time. You know, once there were a couple times on that record where he had me laughing out loud.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The first couple times I heard it. So
I think, you know, like when I heard Coca Pelli face tattoo, like, it's just something, like, I've never heard like the Coca Pelli figure in anything, because like people consider it so tacky. Like it's the first time that I've heard it, and like just thinking of a face tattoo, like I thought of you. I'm like, this is something that Adam would probably like find hilarious. Like, and also like the kid Cody drinking juice boxes for breakfast and hanging out in the abandoned house behind the Arby's. Like, that stuff's funny. Like, it's funny and it's also serious and it's like sober and it's kind of sad too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of humor to it. It's like, it's definitely kind of dark humor. And, you know, that stuff works for me. So, yeah. Good times.
All right. So, Adam Arivan, 91 has been fantastic. So, I believe.
Hasn't it, though?
It has. I think that it has. And I think that it is time for us to get out of here. What do you think?
All right. I think that works for me. So this is Airman. I am going to go. I'm going to head down to the tattoo shop. I'm going to get one of those Coca Pelli face tattoos, and I'm going to get the most punk rock tattoo I can think of, which is black socks pulled all the way up with like a little garter belt tattooed on there. That would turn him at the beach, and everybody's like, what the fuck? That dude's wearing black socks with his sandals, but you're not wearing socks.
This is Captain Carbon. This is Captain Carbon. I'm still trying to think if your tattooed socks. This is Captain Carbon, listening to his entire discography of 3 Days Grace. No, wait, Days of the New. That's another band that no one cares about anymore. How about both of them? It'll be a triple header down at the Speedway.
A little Seven Dust in.